It seems to me we need to establish some common sense guardrails.
U.S.-Chinese Leaders Summit. It's Wednesday, November 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, malnourished Afghan children. Australian park gets new name. China border disputes intensify. Hope for Indonesia's transgendered. Reforesting by drones. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping held a virtual meeting Monday, the first between the two leaders since Biden took office. The White House said early Tuesday Biden welcomed the opportunity to speak candidly and straightforwardly about a range of issues, including human rights, economic competition, and the future of Taiwan. With the United States and China holding key seats on the UN Security Council and their status as the world's two largest economies, Biden noted the need for their governments to be open and honest with each other.
It seems to me we need to establish some common sense guardrails to be clear and honest where we disagree and work together where interests intersect, especially on vital global issues like climate change.
Xi said a steady relationship is required for advancing our two countries' respective development and for safeguarding a peaceful and stable international environment, including finding effective responses to global challenges such as climate change and the COVID-19 pandemic.
新冠肺炎疫情在内的全球性挑战,
China and the U.S. should respect each other, coexist in peace, and pursue win-win cooperation. I'm willing to work with Mr. Biden to build consensus and take active steps to move U.S.-China relations forward in a positive direction. Doing so will advance the interests of the two peoples and meet the expectation of the international community. The White House said the meeting included discussion of China's human rights practices in Xinjiang, Tibet, and Hong Kong, and also discussed freedom of navigation for ships and the need to protect U.S. workers and businesses from China's unfair trade and economic practices. A White House statement also said regarding Taiwan, Biden underscored that the United States remains committed to the One China policy, but also said the U.S. strongly opposes unilateral efforts to change the status quo or undermine peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. Jury deliberation in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial in the U.S. state of Wisconsin began Tuesday. The 18-year-old Rittenhouse faces multiple charges after he allegedly killed two protesters and wounded a third in the city of Kenosha last summer. The protests were spurred by the police shooting of Jacob Blake, a black man. Police say Rittenhouse provoked bloodshed on the streets of Kenosha by bringing a semi-automatic rifle to a protest and menacing others. But Rittenhouse's attorney said his client was ambushed by the first man he shot and killed during a night of turbulent street protests and feared for his life. Jurors heard closing arguments from both sides Monday. Rittenhouse, who was 17 years old at the time, argues he acted in self-defense. The most serious charge before jurors could put Rittenhouse in prison for the rest of his life. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Myanmar's ousted leader facing new charges of electoral fraud. Thai court bars royal reform calls and fuels fears of swelling social schism. U.S. journalist jailed in Myanmar for months heads home. Despite mistrust, Afghan Shiites seek Taliban protection. Pakistan begins immunizing millions against measles and rubella. Full coverage on all these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. With the humanitarian crisis ravaging Afghanistan, A hospital in Kandahar is reporting an increase in the number of young children suffering from acute malnourishment. Gaha Pellegrini reports from Kandahar.
This is Dr. Mohammed Sadiq, pediatrician for the past 38 years at the Mirwais Hospital in Kandahar. The hospital is a regional hub and supported by the International Committee of the Red Cross. Dr. Sadiq says the hospital is seeing an increasing number of children under 5 years old who are suffering from acute malnutrition.
If I compare with last 3 months, this month when I was preparing my report, it was double. So it means that 100% it is increasing the number of the admission.
Sadiq says with the Taliban in control, fighting in the rural areas has subsided, and more people are able to make it into the city to get medical care.
Now everybody have access to come to the town. Before, maybe also there were some malnutrition patients in those areas, but they could not reach us. But now everybody can reach us, so that's why the number is increasing day by day.
According to the World Food Program, nearly 19 million Afghans are at risk of suffering from acute malnourishment and hunger this winter, and it says an estimated 3 million children are most at risk. Dr. Sadiq notes the prevalence of such cases among the youngest, children less than 5 years old.
She had fever. She's admitted here since 2 days, and now it is deducted that she has anemia also, and she has a malnutrition also. Yes, she's very happy from the staff because they are providing very good service.
With the current food emergency and the number of patients less than 5 years old doubling, the medical staff is overwhelmed. Also, they have not been paid for months. Despite international humanitarian aid pledges, a report by Human Rights Watch says Afghanistan must do more to confront the core reasons behind this humanitarian catastrophe. Gaia Pellegrini-Bettoli for VOA News, Kandahar.
U.S. officials say a Russian weapons test created the space junk that is now threatening the 7 astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The State Department confirmed Monday that the debris in the vicinity of the International Space Station was from an old Russian satellite destroyed by the missile strike. NASA's mission control says the threat may continue for another couple of days. The astronauts temporarily retreated into their docked capsules Monday after first being informed of the threat. There are 4 Americans, 1 German, and 2 Russians on board. Still to come on VOA Asia, why a popular park in Australia will get a new name. Happening now in Asia, 2 female reporters have been arrested in the northeastern Indian state of Tripura, accused of spreading communal disharmony for reporting on alleged vandalism and destruction of Muslim properties by suspected right-wing Hindu activists. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia, a popular Australian national park will be renamed because of its association with the slave trade in the mid-1800s. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The Ben Boyd National Park, 520 kilometres south of Sydney, is named after a 19th century Scottish colonialist. Benjamin Boyd is considered Australia's first blackbirder. This was the term given to business operators who transported Pacific Islanders to Australia, where they were paid minimal wages to evade anti-slavery laws. The workers were often kidnapped or coerced into sailing to Australia. Ben Boyd National Park covers about 50 kilometres of rocky coastline and sheltered inlets near the whale-watching town of Eden. It's being renamed after the findings of an independent report showing Boyd's links to the slave trade. The report found he shipped 192 men and women to eastern Australia to work on his estates and ships in 1847. The study also stated that a second voyage to the South Pacific ordered by the businessman ended in violence and the deaths of numerous villagers. The decision to rename the park follows a long campaign by Pacific Island communities and Aboriginal groups. New South Wales State Environment Minister Matt Keane says Boyd doesn't deserve to be honoured.
Ben Boyd was a scoundrel who was involved in forcibly removing people from their homes and forcing them to work on his properties.
Consultations will soon begin with First Nation community leaders to find a new name for the park. The practice of blackbirding became common in the Australian state of Queensland. It's estimated that about 62,000 men were brought to work on plantations in northern New South Wales and Queensland between 1863 and 1904. Aboriginal leaders also want to have colonial place names and monuments removed across Australia, including more than 20 statues of European explorers in Sydney. Australia was colonised by the British and became a penal colony in 1788. Boyd was killed by islanders in the Solomon Islands in 1851. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Apple Incorporated and Alphabet's Google are not doing enough to comply with South Korea's law barring dominant app store operators from making app developers use only their proprietary payment systems, says a lawmaker who spearheaded the measure. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, China has a new tool to wield during any future flare-ups along its borders with foreign entities, whether those be the Indian government, Afghan refugees, or Myanmar rebel groups. Ralph Jennings provides analysis in this report, narrated by VOA's Amy Hybels.
Announced last month, the new land border law authorizes the use of weapons to halt illegal border crossings and lists reasons for Chinese authorities to ban those crossings. Scholars say the law appears to be aimed at legitimizing military and armed police actions along some 22,000 kilometers of largely remote, rugged borders, while warning other states against testing China's resolve in any sovereignty spats. Heritage Foundation senior research fellow Dean Cheng said in a May 2021 study, China has enforced similar laws in the past, largely to cast doubt on the legality of any activities by other countries that challenge Chinese sovereignty. Such laws cover Taiwan, Hong Kong, and countries bounded by the South China Sea. Mohan Malik is the author of the 2011 book China and India, Great Power Rivals.
Beijing is now employing the same lawfare approach it successfully employed in the South China Sea to provide legal cover for its territorial expansion. It shows that China's domestic laws now override bilateral agreements, established norms, and international law.
China, which has rankled several neighbors with its aggressive maritime claims, has reason to be concerned about several of its land borders. Beijing officials are closely watching Myanmar for any spillover of fighting between ethnic minority rebel groups and the Southeast Asian state's military government. Scholars say the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in August poses another concern for China, which worries about an influx of refugees or Islamic extremists across the two countries' short mountainous boundary. Beijing's health officials, meanwhile, are watching all borders, which touch on a total of 14 countries, for anyone who could be carrying the virus causing COVID-19. China also disputes two tracts of land with India, prompting both sides to send troops in 2017 and 2020. Other new Chinese legislation includes a law passed early this year that formalizes Beijing's use of the Coast Guard to defend its disputed claims in the South China Sea, and the Hong Kong Security Law of 2020 that banned subversion in the former British colony. The anti-secession law of 2005 drew attention to Beijing's insistence that self-ruled Taiwan should fall under the Chinese flag. Nguyen Van Trung, director of the Center for International Studies at the University of Social Sciences and Humanities in Ho Chi Minh City, says the new border law could foreshadow paramilitary action as needed against other countries.
I think that China may not use military force, but they can use some kind of force that has a lot of power, like a military force, and like what they are doing in the South China Sea, the paramilitary or the Coast Guard, but they have been fully equipped with weapons.
Thitinan Pongsudhirak, a political science professor at Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, points to Afghanistan and Myanmar as the top border threats, though not the only ones.
The new security law is, I think, designed to safeguard and secure China's borders in a more hostile security setting. This is a time of unprecedented, I think, insecurity for China.
The new border legislation says borders can be shut due to disasters or security threats. Military personnel will answer any illegal border crossings by foreign troops, it says, while armed police agencies may handle other crossings. The law also spells out that China's government adheres to the principles of equality, mutual trust, and friendly consultation, and handles land borders and related matters with land neighbors through negotiations, and properly resolves disputes and border issues left over from history. To read more of Ralph Jennings' analysis about what China's new land border law means for its neighbors, just go to voanews.com.
Making headlines in Asia, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte's daughter, Sara Duterte Carpio, will be the running mate of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in next year's presidential election. The two candidates said on Tuesday, confirming weeks of speculation of an alliance between two powerful families. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of researchers from Portugal, Denmark, and Germany has identified a new dinosaur species, which they also call the first dinosaur to live in Greenland. Izisaanek, which in the language of the native Greenland Inuit means cold bone. The researchers say the dinosaur had two legs, a long neck, was medium-sized, and an herbivore. Izzy is said to have lived in what is now Greenland about 214 million years ago during the late Triassic period. According to a press release from the Martin Luther University Halle Wittenberg, during its time on Earth, Greenland was part of the supercontinent Pangaea, which was then breaking apart. The researchers examined two skulls that were first discovered by Harvard University scientists during a 1994 excavation in East Greenland. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Transgender women are a vulnerable group in many countries around the world. In conservative societies, few avenues of work are available for trans women, and even more so past a certain age. But for one group of older transgender women in Indonesia, that situation has changed, as VOA's Rendy Wikaksana reports.
She sometimes still goes by her birth name, Edo Kusuma. But this lady in Depok, just outside the Indonesian capital, Jakarta, now wants to be known as Oma Dona or Grandma Dona. At 70 years old, Oma Dona has no family to rely on. She was kicked out by her family in West Kalimantan province at a very young age.
Even in my family, I got bullied, tortured. You know how strict a military family can be. They tied me and put me in a shed. That's when I decided to find my own freedom and my own identity. I fled to Jakarta and I've been living here until today.
With two friends, each 75 and 80 years old, Oma Dona now runs this laundromat. Since it opened in July, they each earn about $30 a month, a modest but welcome source of income.
I even have enough to run a small food stall out front. My earnings are enough to feed me. I feel content.
The laundromat was established thanks to Nia English, an Indonesian graduate of Hood College in Maryland. She received a $10,000 grant to open the laundromat, which is also a halfway house for elderly trans women.
The goals of the projects are to provide employment opportunities to the elderly transgender people and as a sustainable source of income generation for the organization in order to able to expand its ability to provide more social services to its members.
Transgender women continue to be marginalized in conservative Indonesia, and few avenues of work are available, something that Omadona admits to.
I once worked at a small restaurant in Jakarta. To be able to eat, I did sex work at a local red light district. For 30 years, I did that.
Many trans women engage in sex work just to stay alive. The halfway house was established to take care of those for whom that is no longer an option.
The public no longer sees them as employable. The number of people who want to hire them for anything is not only limited, it is close to non-existent.
Omadona herself has had no contact with her family since she fled them. But the halfway house, laundromat, and food stall now give her a chance to live out her days with companionship, dignity, and in self-reliance. From Depok, Indonesia, Randy Wicaksana, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. Concern over destructive wildfires in the western United States is driving a Seattle, Washington-based company's quest for faster reforesting by using drones. Matt Dibble explains.
The future of forests may depend on some help from above.
We utilize heavy lift drone swarms to reforest by dropping seed vessels.
In 2015, Grant Canary founded Drone Seed, a company he says will speed up the process of regenerating forests by using drones. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
We're on our best days about six times faster than existing tree planters.
Replanting has typically been done by crews carrying seedlings in heavy packs over difficult terrain.
The people who do it are superheroes, but to the extent that we're able to provide better tools for those same folks to be able to reforest faster, that's our objective with the drone swarms.
Speed is important because in some areas, it is a race to establish trees before competing species take over. But survival once the seeds hit the ground is still a challenge, and most will not grow into seedlings. Drone Seed has been perfecting its vessels, which are made of fibers that retain moisture. They also contain nutrients and even hot pepper to deter hungry creatures. The drones are programmed to locate the best planting locations.
We fly with an aircraft with LiDAR and multispectral imaging, and we create a 3D terrain map of what the site looks like. We pre-program all those flights, so it follows the terrain, it avoids the obstacles, but it also allows us to identify the places that seeds will establish the best.
With warmer and drier conditions around the globe leading to more destructive wildfires, Canary says his company's mission is clear.
Make reforestation scalable to mitigate the worst effects of climate change.
Matt Dibble for VOA News, Oakland, California.
Finally on VOA Asia, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says crowds will once again fill Times Square this New Year's Eve. The mayor said Tuesday that proof of COVID-19 vaccination is required for revelers who want to watch the ball drop in person. De Blasio said the celebration will come back full strength the way we love it. The president of the Times Square Alliance said all spectators aged 5 and over will be asked to show proof of full vaccination. He said people who can't be vaccinated because of a disability will have to provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test. The New Year's Eve celebration, perhaps the city's most iconic public gathering, was a socially distant affair during the height of the pandemic last year. But with the advent of vaccines, the city's public celebrations have been on the upswing in 2021. The Macy's Thanksgiving Parade will be also returning to pre-COVID-19 form, with giant balloons guided by volunteer handlers making their way through the event's Manhattan parade route instead of the one-block stretch they were kept to last year. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.